From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, Blues Day Recap. Got a lot of things to talk in sports. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Of course, this audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher. So I wanted to say thank you to all the listeners. As the show was on a bye week, we do usually our bye week every 3 months, get a week break. So we hit a lot of the listeners with recurring episodes of the Stakeholder Spotlights. Want to shout out to the great sports fans who came on to talk sports with us and get their stories out, the perspective on the sports, the teams. It was a good time to talk with those guys and gals. So if you definitely go check out all the Stakeholder Spotlights and archive episodes of our website, BleedBlueShow.com, or you could go to iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher. It was a great sports talk, man. I think that's the way we like to do things here, where if the show isn't on regular with our the four core sports or our major teams, definitely salute to the stakeholders. Let them have a shine and let them have a full say on how they look at sports. So that's what I just want to thank to the stakeholders and to the listeners of this platform called the Bleed Blue Show. There's a lot of things to discuss in the world of sports. I want to touch on everything as fast as I can, because you already know the website, the schedules of all the upcoming episodes this week. With the hockey on Tuesday, you got the basketball on Wednesday, and of course, the football on Thursday. But we're in one of those fun times of the year. It's one of my favorite times as a sports head. And because you have a lot of things brewing, and not just the major team sports. You have the amateur sports and college basketball with the men and women's tournaments. And then soon after that, you have the golf, if you're into the golf. And then you got a lot of the individual boxing and tennis on the way as well. And some of those fights I definitely want to touch up on that's happened over the last couple of weeks, and a couple of more going on later in this month. But we got to discuss this NCAA stuff, because as we did have a hiatus from last week with our bye week, I did keep an eye out on what happened in the world of college basketball. And that's what I love about the tournament time. I love about what type of character of these teams that are starting to find themselves in some of these great tournaments. The Big East tournament was a very fun one to watch. Saw a little bit of the ACC, but it's weird. I really never thought about it. But multiple years, last couple of years, Big East tournament in Manhattan, then you had the ACC tournament, two major conferences in the same city. I thought that was real interesting to see that on display, one in Brooklyn, one in Manhattan. But nonetheless, I wanted to start with the Big East tournament and Villanova winning their another Big East title. And they have a nice, solid program. Guys can play some defense, timely scoring. There's really no real weakness in their game. It's kind of like they're a very balanced attack offense with Jay Wright and the Villanova Wildcats. I was looking at the bracket, literally, minutes before going on to this episode, just trying to fill it out. I'm not quite there yet. When I say I'm not quite there yet, I'm still filling it out. All my picks are in. Now the second guessing is going to come in. I'm going to be working on that between Tuesday, Wednesday, the playing games on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Dayton. I'm going to figure out who are the upsetters, who are the teams I'm going to look out for. But as of right now, I'm not going to say my winner. We have a tournament going on in the Facebook group with the Bleed Blue Show. I'm still weighing out all my options as far as who's going to clip off who, because you know it's going to happen. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm some college basketball expert. I am a huge fan of the sport, follow it. But you already know when it comes to the NCAA tournament, as we've been on here for the last several years, this thing is very hard to predict. And it really, you don't know who's going to come out and emerge. And that's probably the one question I have, is who's that sleeper team? Who's that team that's going to win the first two games of the first round and going on to the
Sweet 16.
Who are those teams? Or maybe even maybe make a run to the Elite Eight. I don't know who that team is. It's so many options, so many choices to make as far as which team could find its way, per se. You have the 5-12 teams. Usually you'll find an upset within there. Sometimes a 4-13, you can see a 13 upset of 4, but you see a lot of the 5-12s, 12 upset of 5. I haven't really thought it out in each region, whether the South or the East, as far as in this NCAA tournament. But this is what I think I know. And it's hard. I'm trying not to stay with all four number ones getting to the Final Four. I think Xavier is very vulnerable. I'm just looking at from the games I've saw this season. I think Xavier could be very vulnerable like they were in the Big East tournament. Kansas, I don't trust Kansas. Bill Self, Graham, and those guys at all. And that's another team that could probably get clipped off somewhere in that region in the Midwest. I don't know who would it be, though. I have to really think that out. So literally looking at the bracket today, I really feel more comfortable with Villanova. It's my safest pick, and I think that's pretty much everybody's safe pick in the East. Because they've been there before. They won a national championship, even with some of the guys, and head coach was there most recently a couple of seasons ago. Everybody trusts Villanova. I don't think nobody does. So, I think they're going to be a harder out than most. But I got to make a case for the Virginia Cavaliers. But I don't understand if they are going to get clipped off or not with Tony Bennett's team, the Virginia Cavaliers. I really watched them closely a couple of times this season. I saw several Saturdays ago when they went to Durham, North Carolina versus the Blue Devils, and they handled them very well. Duke's a pretty good team this year, although they didn't really show it in the ACC tournament. A team that was kind of overrated at the start of the season, and teams found ways to clip them off, like Boston College, of course, Virginia Tech at home. But Duke is overall a decent team. But Virginia handled them very well. So the question to myself is this is Virginia's year or is it not Virginia's year? That's what I'm wrestling with. Because if it's not Virginia's year, who's going to overtake them in the South? I know they had those couple of games in Charlotte, North Carolina, now in that South region, coming off an ACC tournament where they pretty much dominated. They handled North Carolina pretty easily in the ACC championship. So do they ride that momentum? And it's like, is it their time in the ACC? Because we've seen the last several years, it was either North Carolina or Duke winning not only just the ACC championships, but winning a national championship. But is it this time for Virginia to step to the plate and hoist a national championship? I'm remaining to be seen with that. I'm still trying to look at my bracket. So every now and then on the Twitter, probably even on the Facebook or even Instagram, either or, may have to get tournament updates or tournament posts, and we'll share those with like different stakeholders, sports heads, and as the tournament goes on, because I'm really going to be into this stuff, really. I'm glad that the shows are during the week and not necessarily the weekend, so you have all Friday, Saturday, Sunday to really focus on this, even Thursday, too, if you want to count that, with a lot of the games starting on Thursday, so... But keep an eye out on the tournament. There's teams I do definitely like in the tournament, like Cincinnati, Arizona. Despite all the stuff they went with all the FBI investigations with Sean Miller, I think Arizona is a team that could play. And they play well, won the Pac-12. I don't know if that's saying much getting past USC, but hey, I think the Arizona Wildcats might end up with another. Play a game somewhere down the line versus Calipari in the South region if they get to that point. Tennessee's a team I think I like as well, the way they played in the SEC tournament as well. I said Cincinnati. Xavier, like, I don't trust them as much as I do, but who do you – there's really nobody in that region that I do fear. I don't fear like a Zaga like they have in the past. Ohio State, I'm not really worried about if it had to come down to them. And I know Missouri getting guys back, Porter coming back, but he's not. He's probably on a minutes restriction. And I think Xavier is veteran enough to get past. And I think they'll learn what they have shortcomed in the Big East tournament. Got to see how that happens, man. And then if I looked at the Midwest bracket, and it's really about Kansas and who will beat Kansas. Do you put up if Duke gets that far? Do they get past Kansas? I don't know. If does Tom Izzo's team in Michigan State, do they have a chance? What about the Auburn Tigers, who kind of short themselves, got really embarrassed by the Alabama Crimson Tide, school rival in basketball in the SEC tournament? Like, what happened with them? I thought they were the SEC team to come in and dominate what they're supposed to in the tournament, and they kind of laid an egg. So Kansas, it's really Kansas and who else? I think a team like Seton Hall, if they get far enough, the only problem I have with Seton Hall, because they got to play, I think, in the first round versus the Wolfpack. And that's not an easy. That's not an easy game for the Pirates. That's a coin flip game. I'm a type of fan. I mean, I'm gonna watch them all, but I love those 8-9 games because it's really about as evenly matched as you could get record wise. Your RPIs, the level of competition which you played is pretty much similar what you play against on these other schools. I'm looking forward to a lot of 8-9s. Let's see, who are the other 8-9s? You got Seton Hall and North Carolina State. That's a very good game. I'm not exactly sure what day that's on, and I'm definitely check that out. Another 8-9 game. Who else is an 8-9 game that's on here that I will definitely keep a tabs on? I would say, who else is 8-9? 8-9. Okay, that's them. All right. I would say, look at, find my sheet. Another 8-9 team. Creighton and Kansas State. Not a sexy game. Not really the barn burner I would like to see. I think Kansas State can handle Creighton. But it would be, of course, you know, it's a pretty much a pick'em game. Whoever's going to win that game is going to win that game. So there's another 8-9 game that I saw. Who was it? Was it I think it was them. It was the Tigers and the Seminoles. I think the Seminoles could get – I mean, not the Seminoles. I think the Missouri Tigers could get past Florida State. Two up and down for me for the Florida State. Lucky that they got in the first place, man. Even though they had a competition in that ACC, I think Missouri could definitely get past Florida State. Nonetheless, I'm going to be updating a lot of my thoughts over social media throughout the tournament because this is that time of year, man. Like – professional sports, NHL, NBA. Of course, that's still going to go on. We'll have a little discussion about that real quick before we get off. But, man, I just can't wait for even the playing games. I mean, it's not the greatest of games, the Tuesday and Wednesday games. Not the greatest games. But still, I look forward to these schools. That it's their time to really put their campus on the map. And sometimes it's almost everything to these programs. And you want to see a lot of fun, man. And these guys really have nothing to play for but pride. And when it comes to school pride, I look forward to the competition. I think overall, I can't really make a case against Villanova. And I really want to see Virginia win it, but I'm not 100% sure because over the years, Virginia has done that. You've seen them a couple of years ago. They kind of not get the job done. Versus teams in the tournament. You could go back to 2 years ago. I think the game versus Syracuse rings a bell in that, man. Other things that was on my mind on this recap, because I know Tuesday we got the Rangers, we got the NHL, and I really, on an NHL level, we'll talk Rangers on Tuesday, of course, but on an NHL level, you really got to see, well, I definitely did if you were a Rangers fan, but the Tampa Bay Lightning, they got to be the best team in hockey. Top to bottom, the four lines, the defensemen. It seemed like, you know, you have Oster, you have when McDonough, whenever he gets back on the hockey tip, Anton Strawman, you have Dan Girardi, a former Ranger as well. And then if you go back to the top six, like I said, I mean, there were reasons why they were available to give up so many guys in trades and get guys back, adding a JT Miller from the Rangers, of course, Steven Stamkos. They have a killer top six, killer. And if you're a Rangers fan, you saw the game last week, you see why they put up so many points and why they score so many goals. it comes in waves. They got so many guys that could beat you, the power play, the penalty kill, the speed, the veteranship, the youth, Tyler Johnson's third line. They have it all. And I say all that to say when it comes to the NHL is that when the playoffs come, anybody could get hot. We saw that last year with the Nashville Predators when they went and destroyed the Chicago Blackhawks, where Nashville was the eighth seed at the time. I don't see that happening versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. I could be wrong, and that's what makes the sport polarizing with the NHL is anybody could get beat anytime, especially when you get hot. I like what the Vegas Knights have done out there in the West, but they're showing a lot of vulnerability. And as far as a team, a first-time team, I mean, there's really great things that they've done this year with William Karlsson. A lot of the guys that was on that team that came from different teams, Andre Fleury as the goalie, they brought a lot of pieces. The general manager had a lot of money to play with, as well as a lot of the best probably deals ever, like any general manager could get, especially with an expansion team. Just keeping an eye out on the East because of all the metropolitan teams that's in the mix with the Flyers, and we saw what the Penguins did to the Flyers as well, and you can't never discount them. They're the defending champions. They're two-time defending champions. The Flyers are really in the mix. You see the Hurricanes are trying to find for a playoff spot as well. And then, of course, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Devils, teams like that. I really think if they play all their game and if everybody stays on course, it's really Tampa Bay really in the East to me. I mean, just from start to finish, they really – they didn't have the dominant. They didn't have a gauntlet of a conference to really go through. You have some with Toronto. Boston is a very viable opponent, but I really, really like this Tampa Bay Lightning team. And really, I know we split as a Rangers fan. We split with them thus far, but to this point, we got to play them another time. But this team is loaded, man. Very stacked, and they went going for it all. The sacrificing draft picks, and really to get that cup because I think they haven't won a cup in about 12, 13 years, something like that. And other teams in the West, we got to see a lot of these other teams as well. With Colorado was hot, got a little bit cooled off. A team like Calgary with the young team, Winnipeg has awesome goal scoring. We saw that last week with the Rangers. We saw the way they could light up the lamp as well. Winnipeg has a very, very aggressive forecheck type of team. In the West, I think Winnipeg definitely has a shot. If Minnesota gets in, they're a team that could really disrupt things because they're really a pesky team as well. Nashville has a very awesome team as well. We already talked about those many times on the show. And I don't know what happened to the St. Louis Blues and with the fire sale they had. Because going into the season, I thought they were one of the top teams in the Western Conference. But that goes to show what happens in this league. Same thing with the Rangers. Well, to a degree, because I thought their roster was a little bit weak, but didn't think they were going to not make the playoffs. But neither here nor there, man. Like, this West Coast teams with the Vegas team, you add in Calgary and Dallas, the way they've played this year, there's a lot of competition. Chicago's a team that's veterans, getting a little long in the tooth, but hey, they're still viable, and maybe they want to make up for what happened last year versus the Predators. Going to keep a tab out on the NHL and have a lot of those discussions on this Rink podcast as well with RP. Looking forward to that dialogue as well. And I wanted to get to the NBA as well. We and all the Knicks stuff. We'll discuss all the Knicks stuff on Wednesday. But on the NBA, just overall as a league, in a decent place. Watched a lot of Toronto basketball, not only just against the Knicks, but you got to see that Rocket game versus the Raptors. That was a very strong performance by the Toronto Raptors last Friday. If you haven't seen that game, if you're into the NBA, this is probably their best chance to come out of the East and finally make their first NBA Finals. There's going to be a couple of teams that's probably in their way, like Boston or Cleveland. I don't think it goes anywhere beyond that because all the other teams in the East, I don't really trust Indiana or Washington. And I think Washington has played well without John Wall, but I still think there's still one of those teams that gets to the playoffs, get one or two rounds, and that's about it. They'll fizzle out. Too much firepower on these other teams that they could keep up with. Bradley Beal has played very good basketball in the absence of John Wall, but hey, I think Toronto has shown with their bench they could play with any team in the league this year. They've been around with the core group for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and maybe it is their time to come out the East. Boston's kind of a new team in the sense of Danny Ainge getting rid of a lot of those players from last year, Avery Bradley, getting rid of Jay Crowder, guys like that, and bringing in a whole new crop of guys. And then you got to remember, they're still missing Gordon Hayward, who didn't even play. Well, he played the first game, he played a quarter before he broke his whole leg. But Toronto's are more intact than what Boston is. So maybe it is Toronto's year. I'm looking forward. I think they got to play each other twice and by the end of the regular season. They got to play other teams like Cleveland. But I really want to see Toronto versus Boston before the end of the regular season to really see how the importance of how they treat those type of games. Going to keep tabs on that with the NBA at large. On the west side, West Coast side of things, the Houston Rockets have played good basketball as well, if you haven't followed the NBA. And I think the one loss in Toronto, I don't really want to knock them because I think they went in there with a 17-game win streak. They were pretty much destroying teams, man, dominating. With Chris Paul, James Harden on the court, adding a Clint Capella and adding a Joe Johnson off of waivers and Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon. They got a lot of players, man. They got a lot of guys that can shoot the basketball. It really fits what they do. Two ball handlers at the court, at least one at all times. Houston Rockets could be a situation where they could be an interesting team, but I got to see him in the playoffs because I think that's what it comes down to me when it comes down to James Harden, because he's one of those great regular season players. You saw him one time in the finals when he was on OKC, and they didn't do – I don't know if it was the coach, Scott Brooks, at the time, but then it was gun shy versus Miami Heat back in, 2012? But he's older now, more mature, he's an MVP candidate, got the best record as of to this point because now we're seeing – this is why sometimes you have to play these games with the NBA is it's not guaranteed. Everybody was penciling or even putting in pen the Golden State Warriors are going to win the championship, and they might will, but you never know when injuries. With 82 games, guys get injured, and you see Steph Curry getting hurt, hurting his ankle in some of these games. I think the game versus the Spurs. And with him out of the lineup, you saw Portland trash is straight up trash them. You know what I'm saying? They put the medal to them, man. And then also the same thing with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So Golden State could be vulnerable when you're missing key pieces. I think the Lakers have played well. Watched a little bit of their game versus Cleveland Cavaliers on Sunday night. They played well since their trade. Now, I don't know. There may be a long shot for them to make the playoffs because pretty much a lot of the West Coast teams are pretty damn good, like they have like the several years. But this is why I'm kind of more in the format of getting rid of the divisions altogether, because we're in a new league, man. We're in a new NBA. We're in a new place with a lot of these teams. We're in a new state where it doesn't matter where the divisions. It's not regionalized. The world is more global than it has ever been because of social media, because of communication and technology, because of travel, efficiency, operations. I think the NBA, even the NHL, I would even go that far with the NHL. I say the top 6 teams, regardless of conference, go ahead and then bang out. Put the top 16 and let it get a better product in the playoffs, because then you could see if it happens, if it plays out the way it could, then you could really see a Golden State versus Houston's finals. Get rid of the divisions, both NHL and the NBA. That's kind of the way I'm kind of leaning when it comes to sports, man. We'll talk a little bit more on an NBA tip on the Knicks episode with Av. Looking forward to hearing his thoughts on our Knicks as we struggled since the All-Star break. We only got that one win after beating Orlando. It's been downhill ever since. Talk a little bit of Yankees, of getting back into that. And I like the way everybody has played in the young season, the young spring training season. Holder has hit well for the Yankees. We saw Gary Sanchez hit a home run, and of course Stanton and Judge getting some bats, and then Drury playing a good third base. We saw Aaron Hicks is hitting the ball well, and I thought that was key. Evelino has a couple of at-bats when he's filled in at second base. So there's a lot of – the Yankees are pretty deep, and a lot of guys are making a lot of case of getting playing time. We saw Ronald Torres playing an excellent second base as well the last couple of weeks. He's hitting a very good average. A lot of these guys have played very well. Florio is a guy that everybody kept an eye out on. He's played a decent outfield. Andujar is another guy we want to root for. And he's hitting a little bit better as of late. Kind of been in and out. It started off good, cooled off, hit it well again. If you want to look at Higashika, the backup catcher, or whether it's Romine, and then also Diaz at behind the plate, the Yankees have depth at every position, and the farm looks good. And that's a lot of the points I'm going to hit on next week as we cover all the rest of the parts of the team. As far as the infield and the pitching, and then getting into the managerial decisions, Major League Baseball is literally weeks away. And when it comes to, from a Yankees perspective, of course, I definitely want to get off to a great start. I don't think they will. Gut feeling tells me they might not. But nonetheless, the Yankees, spring training in Major League Baseball, watching some of these teams play, whenever they're televised, of course. So keep your tabs on that. I think it covered all the major sports. I want to say one more thing before I get off because I'm a huge boxing fan. Love boxing. Combat sport and has a bad reputation over the last few years because a lot of fans, maybe because it was media-driven per se, saying that boxing's dead or boxing has lost its step or something along those lines. I don't think that's the case at all. I think the last year has proven, I've said this several times here on the Bleed Blue Show, that the boxing, if you've been paying attention, has had excellent, excellent fights. Excellent, excellent fights. Now, this past weekend, as I do this Blues Day recap, the Mikey Garcia fight was kind of a letdown from the standpoint that Linnets didn't give Mikey Garcia more competition that he had. But congratulations to Mikey Garcia on winning another fighting championship in another weight class. And I know he has a lot of decisions to make whether he wants to go up in weight. I think it's a good idea that he can stay at 140 or even at 135 as far as boxing and getting more belts and unify some of those things. I think 147 is a little tall task, not to say he can't. I think it's a little bit of, as a pound-for-pound guy, I know he's probably top 10, but 147 welterweight division is pretty stacked. So Mikey Garcia over this past weekend with key wins. But I wanted to say this because I think boxing in the next starting – well, you even go back a couple weeks. But even going up into the Easter weekend, you had the Joshua fight. You got the Joshua fight in England versus Parker on Easter weekend. And then even today, Lomachenko and Jorge Linares finally got their fight inked in, and they're fighting soon. I mean, they're fighting literally in 2 months. And that's 1 week after the Triple G Saul Alvarez Part 2 fight. And that's even that's just the second fight that day if you're not including Hay and Ballou Part 2 in England. So boxing is deep with all this good quality fights. Crawford's fighting as well. Got Joe Horn. A lot of good fights, man, between here, not even before summer, pretty much the rest of the spring. You might see Keith Thurman get a bout in before Memorial Day. He might get a boxing, he might get a bout. But a lot of guys, man, I mean, good quality boxing. Even some of the smaller fights that's not as big as what I just said, like Daniel Jacobs versus Saluki. They're going to fight on HBO at Barclays. It's just good quality bouts, man, just definitely get involved with the boxing this year. If you want to listen through the Bleed Blue Show and get my perspective on who I like and who's going to win and who's going to what key matches to watch, man, do not sleep on this stuff. Because on this Blues Day recap, man, just so many sports. The way I said with the NCAA, all major sports, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, of course. This is kind of like a summary. It's just kind of like an alley to the oop of what we're going to discuss later this week, man. So looking forward to talking with the NBA with Knicks with Av or talking with the hockey with RP or even on free agency. I know a lot of Giant fans got issues with the Odell Beckham Jr. situation. We're going to discuss that as well as with the free agents period that's actually starting in a couple of days. And we'll definitely have those thoughts as far as acquisitions and where our team should go and where the rest of the league. And then also some of the stuff, all these other moves, like a Richard Sherman going to San Fran. I mean, I think that's a pretty good move for the 49ers, man. This is one of the best part of the years in sports, man. Looking forward to talking with all these great stakeholders. Sangre Azul, this is just a summary level leading into the week as we discuss sports.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.